إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu revealed His kalam. He sent His kalam to His Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through whom it came down to us. And we know the importance of the kalam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The key thing that I want to remind myself and you is the importance of the right way to approach the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. We did a webinar yesterday on this subject, and I thought maybe it's a good idea to speak a little bit about that, inshallah, and bismillah ta'ala, if Allah wills, maybe this will become a series of Fajr reminders on this. So to begin with, when we read the Quran, what and how must we approach it? And inshallah, we'll also talk about later on in the coming days of how to present the Quran to others, to people who might be interested, who are not Muslim yet, as well as to our children. So to begin with, the first and most important thing to remember and to remind ourselves consciously is to be aware of what is it that we are reading. Now this might look like a bit of an oxymoron to say that if I am reading the Quran, don't I know it is the Quran? But I submit to you that you do not know it is the Quran. You read the Quran like you read any other book. If there was a way of measuring, then I don't know whether we would find any difference except the fact that we make wudu before we read the Quran. Except that one difference, if we measure it and say, is there any difference in the way we read the Quran? Difference in terms of our attitude, difference in terms of our awareness, difference in terms of what happens to us. Is there a difference between reading some other book and reading the Quran? Allah knows best whether there is any difference in the way we read. But there should be a difference. There should be a huge difference. And the simple and most important reason for that is because of the name of the author. Because of the name of the author. I remember I met this brother in America once, in the Tabligh Markaz in New York, in Queens, Masjid Al-Falah. And he came from Maine, which is in the north, a small state with practically no Muslims. I mean, there are Muslims, alhamdulillah, but it's like almost nothing. And I'm talking about, this incident happened about 15 years ago. So there were even fewer. And this was a white guy, and he had blonde hair, and you know, it was long hair like this, and he had a blonde beard. So his friend used to call him Jesus Christ because he looked like the pictorial depictions of Isa alayhi salam. We don't say that they are pictures of Isa alayhi salam, but what they do. So I asked him, I said, How did you come to Islam? So he said, I was studying in a seminary in Maine, studying to be a priest. And part of my course was to study the Quran with the intention of finding fault in it and picking out the mistakes and the problems and so on and so forth in it. So he didn't know Arabic, he was reading the English translation. So he said, I started reading it, and what struck me was the majesty of the address. I still remember his words, wallahi. He said, what struck me is the majesty of the address. And that is why I remind myself and you, does this strike us? The majesty of the address. And this is a priest. This is a man training to be a priest. So he said, what struck me is the majesty of the address. And he said, as I continued to read and this continued to impact me, he said, I looked to see the name of the author. He said, there has to be a name. It's a book, right? I mean, books are written or whatever. The Quran is a spoken word. It was recorded later. But I'm saying that he said, there has to be an author. So he said, where is the author? So he said, I looked all over, I can't find the author. But I'm struck by the majesty of the address. Ajib. مَنْ يَهْدِي اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ. One who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, he is the guided. And I remind myself and I ask myself this question. For example, what we read in the Salah today, it begins how? تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Seriously, we have no right to go to the next ayat until the majesty of this ayah sinks inside us. It's not a matter of saying read so many ayat in the Salah. No, just one ayah. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. How do you translate this? That's why I say the difference between translation and meaning. There's a huge difference, massive difference between translation and meaning. We confuse the two. We say, what does the ayah mean? And you're giving me the translation. If I ask myself and if I ask you, what does this ayat mean? Give me the translation. All barakah, all grace, all majesty, all glory, all magnificence is to that one in whose hand is the kingdom. Tabaraka alladhi biyadihi al-mulk wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And he has iqtidar and he has qudrat and he has control and he has power and he has tasarruf over all that exists. Is this the meaning of the translation? Translation. I have just translated the Arabic into English. This is not the meaning. So what is the meaning? That is why we need tarbiyah. That is why we need tarbiyah. Can you imagine? We will be reciting the Quran our whole lives. Even though we might know Arabic, even though we might read the translation and we never know the meaning, we are with the translation only. And of course, may Allah protect those who don't even have the translation. They only have the sound. They only have the sound, they don't even have the translation. But even those who have the translation and who think they have the meaning, they don't have the meaning. They do not have the meaning. This is what I mean by approaching the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you approach the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by sitting there and opening the book and asking yourself, what is this? What is this that I am holding in my hand? And it is the haqq of the book that you should lose consciousness with the khashyat and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that minute. It is the haqq of the kitab. This must happen. How can you continue to hold the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal? What is the meaning of kalam of Allah? All translations. Speech of Allah. Allah's word. Is that the meaning? Or is it a translation? Allah's word. What is the meaning of Allah's word? Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. This is our Rabb and He spoke. This is our Rabb and He spoke. That's why they say the Quran is the spoken word. It is not the written word. The spoken word was recorded. So it is the written word. But the kalam did not come as a piece of writing. Jibreel alayhi salam did not come with a piece of paper. He spoke. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu spoke. And Jibreel heard alayhi salam. And Jibreel spoke. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke and the Sahaba heard Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, and then and only then was it written down. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalala. The Quran is not a created thing. You are still holding the kalam. You are still holding the kitab. You have not even started reading. You are saying to yourself, Wallah, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalala. He gave me this thing. He spoke. It is not a created thing. The kalam of Allah is the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. He is the kalim and this is the kalam. It is not a created thing. The Quran is the closest that we will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the honor of His jalwa, of looking at Him on the Day of Judgment, inshallah. But in this life, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the closest that we will come to His Jalla Jalalu. And that is what we are holding in our hands. We need to, we haven't even started reading. You have not started reading, we are only holding the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are saying, reminding yourself, this is what I mean by saying, are you aware of what you are doing? If you are not doing that, then tell me what is the difference between reading the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and some other book. I'm not saying you're reading some trash. Good book. Very good book. But is there a difference? This awareness. What is it that I'm reading? And then the awareness to say, when I read this, what is the responsibility on me? And almost the first thing that people will say, my responsibility on me is to convey it. No. The responsibility on you is not to convey it. The first responsibility on you is to understand it. Difference between translation and meaning. First responsibility on you is to understand it. Second responsibility on you is to practice it. And only then comes the third responsibility, which is to convey it. Today, all the confusion in the name of Dawah is because you jump to the third responsibility without the first two. You have not understood what you are saying. You have not practiced it. And you want to tell people about it. And that's why the confusion. That is why there is no barakah in Dawah. And people immediately quote this thing, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Balligh anni walau aya," convey from me even if it is one ayah. And they forget, who was he speaking to? Was he speaking to somebody like me and you? People who don't even understand what they are doing, deaf, dumb and blind. When he said, "Balligh anni walau aya," who was his audience? Who was he speaking to? He was speaking to Abu Bakr, and Umar, and Uthman, and Ali, and Talha, and Zubair, and Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas. He was speaking to people who had been in his tarbiyah, direct tarbiyah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for decades, some of them. To them he said this. He didn't say it to people who, like us. And I don't want to go into the tafsir of what we are like. May Allah has covered it, may Allah keep it covered. Responsibility of approaching the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu as it is the haqq of the kalam to be approached. We apply this in our lives. For example, we have made it for ourselves that we must be addressed in a certain way because of who we are. I am so and so, this is my status in society and so on, and therefore I must be addressed like this. Now if somebody calls you by name, by first name, right, if my driver or somebody, one of my employees, if he calls me Yavar, it is my name. He hasn't cursed me. This is the name my parents gave me. It's a good name. I like my name. But will I accept it? Will I like it? Will I be offended? How can you call me my name? Are? Gali diya gaya. Aapka naam diya. Nahi, be-adab hai. Be-adab kaise hota? Ye naam liya. But we have created this. No. You can't just call me my name like this. There is a proper way of address. What is the proper way of address of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla? What is the proper way of the approach to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla? That does not have a proper way of address. You can say what you want, you can do whatever you want, approach it whichever you want. Seriously, we have to ask ourselves, these are the questions. We haven't even begun reciting the kalam. You are still holding the kalam, the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of this is going through your mind. You make tawbah, you make dua. You become aware of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is great mercy and blessing that He allowed you and me to speak His words with our tongue, which is otherwise engaged in backbiting and slandering and cursing and you know, all kinds of. And that tongue Allah permitted to say, "Tabaraka alladhi biyadihi al-mulku wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir." With this thought we must fall down in sujood and say, "Ya Allah, this tongue of mine." And that's the reason why we must guard our tongues. This is one of the very major, not just because of the sin. It's one of the very major reasons that we are speaking the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you curse? Use the same tongue. How can you slander? How can you backbite? How can you do something which is haram with this tongue? When this is the tongue which recites the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the many reasons to guard our tongues. But this azmat of the kalam of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, this must come inside us before we even begin reading it.
then inshallah we will continue with this series of how to approach the Quran, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.